Bruce Almighty Podcast.
What the fuck? You interrupted my end game on Fire Stick. I love the bootleg version.
You love the bootleg version? I love the Chinese,
the letters.
Chinese sub, yeah, the subtitles. I wish I could read Chinese. I bet you, I wonder if you could draw that, one of the captions and trick one of these girls into thinking that says love and peace and loyalty or something like that.
And they tattoo it on it.
I like that. I wonder if we could make that happen.
Yeah, anyway, I think so.
Basically, it's going to be an audio test, so I don't know if I'm going to keep this podcast or not, but this is basically about, you know, the super nerds, and I think a little bit of everybody was a super nerd this week when Avengers Endgame came out. I went and saw opening day in the theaters. I thought I was slick. I was going to get up early and beat the crowds to the theaters on a Friday morning, not knowing it's a holiday in San Antonio. It's like Battle of the Flowers, and school was out. I didn't know it. So I showed up at the theater at like 10 in the morning, and the theater was packed. There was lines out the door for opening day.
Damn.
So I got the last seat in the theater, and I sat between two very large men. And it was really awkward because I had nowhere to put my arms. I was trying to bully my elbows onto the armrests, and I was in one of them theaters. Yeah, it wasn't happening. I'm glad it didn't smell.
Between Thor and the Hulk.
Yeah, I was definitely like I sat between two fat Thors, and it was great. And this podcast, I don't plan on it being like a nerd podcast where I break down movies and all that. This is just going to basically be a fun podcast. And I swear to God, like, I hope people don't judge me, but when I went and saw Endgame, like, I was like a kid. I went by myself. I didn't want to go with anybody. And since I've been, you know, in my situation, I don't like to be around people, so I enjoy my own company. I'm like a meme. You got to love yourself.
Yeah. That was me. I was in here watching the bootleg version screaming that, you know, the part, especially when all the Avengers came through the porthole. I was like,
Did you see it in the theater?
No, I'm going to see it in the theater. I purposely, you know, watched the bootleg first so I could get the motivation to go and see it. Or, you know, I would know if I wanted to go and see it in the theater or not.
You
so
have to go
it's
see it in
just,
the theater.
Yeah, and IMAX is the only way. Only way I'll see it, I only see it in IMAX.
Listen, when I went to the theater, and you know, it started slow, right? And I was like, okay, this is kind of getting boring. Like, it didn't really take off till, you know, attention. If you are listening, this does have some spoilers, and if you're not one of the people that spent $1.something billion on this movie, I'm sorry. It's been out a week. You should have seen it by now. You know.
Right.
Joke's on you. But when Black Widow sacrificed herself, I cried a little bit. Right? That's when the movie started to take off for me is with Black Widow and Hawkeye and I don't know how you say it, Voorhees or Vortimer or whatever that realm is called with the Red Skull. And I started to tear up a little bit when she died because I didn't realize Black Widow was that important of a character to me until she died. It was nuts. And I don't know about you, but I cried a little bit. And there was a couple points in the movie where I was questioning my own masculinity because I'm like, man, I'm in this movie crying like a bitch. And I'm thinking to myself, I hope nobody noticed me crying because I'm trying not to do that thing where you gotta wipe your tear without nobody seeing it. And then, like, when Iron Man died, I lost it. Like, it would not, the tears just kept coming. And I'm looking around, before I'm starting to feel guilty or like, damn, like, what's wrong with me? The whole theater's losing it. It's not just me.
Yeah.
a little justified. You hear the whole theater, like, just sniffling and this, and I'm like, so I'm one of the people when I think to my head, sometimes it comes out loud, and I'm saying, "Damn, everybody's crying!" And like when I said, the whole theater started laughing because like I kind of said it a little too loud because I was thinking out loud. And
yeah,
it was a great experience. And now I'm seeing all the fake critics that are coming on saying, "Oh, the movie was underwhelming." I feel like it's trendy to say something's disappointing now. I think that's the thing. It's people are looking to critique it. They're like, "Oh, well, this didn't make sense. If you play with the timeline like this, and this happens, and when Captain America went back in time, he wouldn't come back old. He would come back." Oh, man, it's a fucking superhero movie. Can you just enjoy it and stop looking for loopholes? Like, it's getting stupid. And
yeah, I noticed people were commenting on certain posts. Social media, one girl, she was like really unhappy with the movie, you know, the thing with Iron Man, like he was talking about, like people don't understand, you know, he was following his destiny, you know, like Thor, like Thanos was saying, it's, you know, certain things are inevitable, so you could, I was expecting like the worst at the end, like the worst thing, the worst possible thing could happen.
It still snuck up on you and made you cry.
It did. And I was, you could imagine me sitting here by myself, like, holding back tears, like, I'm straight. Ain't nobody looking. I'm by myself.
Let me formally introduce you, because I'm sure, like, out of the 16 people that listened to my podcast last week, I'm sure maybe somebody might not know who you are. I call J-Rock. One of the super producers that I know, and I'm blessed to know you personally. Just list off some of the production credits you've had your hand in that people probably heard, and some of the ones I can name off the top of my head is Trick Daddy's album, Thug Holiday, Trina Look Back at It. I'm sure there's a lot more. I just can't name them all off the top of my head right now. And not talking about the, I don't really know.
Underground Florida artists.
The list goes on. And you know, I'm not talking to nobody on this podcast. I'm talking to somebody special who I like to call my friend. And who I've bounced ideas off your head for years. Now, we've had these conversations. And... you know, it's great to talk to you. So go ahead and introduce yourself, Mr. Super Producer.
Yes, I am the Black Thor, J-Rock, aka J Roper. Just, you know, a guy that like to do music, man. Y'all can poop and holler or whatever, but I just view myself as a dude that just transitioned from. Like, you know, I like to sing, and I was singing in several rap groups. I went from, like, the Addicts to groups with R&B groups. I was in an R&B group with Jay Shin.
Okay.
Paper Chasers with White Dog and Jim Johnson.
Okay.
Cool Town, Deathstruck Records,
Jim Johnson was behind a lot of B.O.B. hits, right?
Yeah, B.O.B. and he was about to put a 21 Reese out. He's from Palm Beach. You know, a lot of underground artists. Kim, Killer Kim. I've worked in T.I. studio, been on his boards and in his studio, met him. Been in Rick Ross' house. You know, let him listen to tracks, you know, exclusively.
Was this when T.I. was he using the big words yet, or like in conversation?
Yes, he was.
Did it in music?
T.I. been using big words before he knew what they meant.
Expedia.
Before he knew what they meant. Yeah, Expedia.com, Expedition.
Hey,
I thought that was a damn car.
Yeah, I was, and that whole thing, you know, T.I. need to sit down. Like, I love T.I. I always love what he's been doing over the years. But when all these people started attacking Kodak Black, I was not here for it. I didn't want to hear it.
I was here. I'm ready for the smoke. I put up posts and everything. I ain't give a damn, because we have to hold up our own, no matter what they do, because he's a young man. He's still growing. He still has positive insight on things. You know, he makes mistakes, of course. He, you know, like J. Cole said, he wished he had the right guidance behind him. You know, he'd get a lot further faster. But, you know, it takes time. It took T.I. time. Ain't nobody like T.I. when he first came out. Let me tell you, it was just mostly street dudes. But a lot of the industry cats, they was like, man, I can't understand this dude. What is he talking about? You know what I'm saying? Like his lingo or whatever like that. Kodak got his own lingo. Huh?
Do you think Kodak is the city center of this era?
What was that?
Do you think Kodak might be the 50 Cent of this era? As far as gold goes?
I say anything is possible if, you know, you get with the right people. Who knows if 50 Cent and, you know, what if Jam Master Jay would have been alive and he would have stayed with Jam Master Jay? Maybe he would have just been an in-and-out artist. But he got with the right dude. He got with Dr. Dre. You know, the man that was, you know, on top of his game at that time, and, you know, the Beats headphones, that $1 billion industry. And, you know, you just got to think about, you know, your vision is whoever you hook up with, that's who you're going to ultimately, you know, build your career with and meet the right people. And, you know, he just got to put himself in a position where he meet the right people and stuff like that. You know, everybody attacking him right now, but what if this dude do become the next 50 or Puff Daddy? You know, he got a long ways to go. You know, look into their history. Look into those guys' history. They didn't just write off the back. You know, they started from somewhere, and, you know, it wasn't all positive either. So,
well,
that's how I
feel. The reason I segued into this is because part of this episode I want to be about super fandom. Like how, if you look, when you got insane fans of shows, movies, it's like almost cult followings of Marvel, of rappers, of celebrities. Like it's, I heard J. Cole talk a lot about celebrity worship and fandom. It's like an unhealthy. This guy I work with. He told me he punched somebody in the chest for spoiling Endgame. I'm like, man, it ain't that serious. You know, because I seen, before I went to the movie in the morning, I was on Twitter and I seen the Iron Man and Black Widow died. I didn't get mad. I'm like, I'm still going to see it. I don't give a fuck. And it still had the same impact on me when I seen them die. I'm like, I knew it was coming. I didn't know how. I didn't know when, but I knew it was coming.
Wait. This is my favorite part, right? This is my favorite part right here, when Thanos snap and don't shit happen. And then Iron Man got the crush.
This man doing a podcast on Endgame, watching Endgame. That's dedication, folks. Like,
I'm trying to. When you called me, that's what I was doing. I was like, I ain't doing shit, but that's what I was doing. I was watching Endgame. And that's why it was so, like, convincing. To just, you know, call you and do it.
I went and saw Endgame twice in the theaters. And then I got it on Showbox on my tablet. I'm like, all right, I done gave them some of my money. I made $1 billion. They'll be cool if I bootleg this shit now. So they'll be all right.
I'm a little backwards, you know. I ain't want to leave the house.
Yeah, well,
it kind of popped up on Firestick, and I was like, oh, fuck it.
Yeah, if it pops up, you go and watch it. Like, I was listening, and you know what's crazy is people get into all these theories and they take it so serious. They like, oh, but
mm-hmm.
but you know, they get into all these theories on where it goes from here, and like it's nuts. It's like going down the wormhole. I found myself one day watching 2 hours of YouTube videos of Avengers Endgame breakdowns and comparing it to Infinity Wars. And the ones when they try to break down the trailers and say what it means in the movie is hilarious.
Yeah.
And because they
yeah,
have these
scary,
people
man.
That made had these people have made YouTube careers.
Yeah.
Out of fucking up the trailers, out of trying to break down a trailer and predict what happens.
Well, if, like, if you go back, go back. Remember the two guys, Ebert and what was their name? They used to the movie critic. Yeah, Siskel and Ebert. They, that used to run on TV, and people used to pay attention to that heavy. But now we have more access and easier access to stuff like that, and to different personalities too. So it's actually a good thing, and it's it's available. You don't have to wait for it to come on. Now you just go and click a button on your phone, and boom, you get results of movies and how much they made, and
yeah,
if it was worth going to see, tomatoes or Rotten Tomatoes and all that. So it's a good thing.
And I feel like it's evolved on how movies are digested now. It's like the anticipation is almost bigger than the movie itself half the time. Now, I'll tell you what I'm not here for. I'm not here for them fucking up Sonic the Hedgehog. I'm not here for that. I seen the trash-ass trailer. Hey, that man got baby teeth like my... Sonic got teeth like my daughter's. I was mad. My daughter got teeth like that. I'm like, why Sonic teeth look like that? I'm sitting here looking at it.
I can't take nobody serious with baby teeth. I'm sorry. No adult with baby teeth or animals. I can't take you serious.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
I show my daughter, she's four. She loves playing Sonic the Hedgehog. She'll get on my Xbox. You can download some of the classic games on there. And I got her Sonic the Hedgehog, and she plays that. She can get further than I can. And every time she sees something Sonic, we're like, look, Daddy, it's Sonic. It's Sonic. It's Tails. It's Sonic, I showed her the video. She got excited. All of a sudden, they show Sonic the Hedgehog. He looked creepy coming out of Gangster's Paradise. Like, out of all songs, he just chilling in Gangster's Paradise. He must be crippling because he's all blue. He saw Nipsey and got blessed in or something, and he's got creepy teeth, and I wasn't here for it. The only thing that looked like a plus was Jim Carrey playing, what's his name, Dr. Egg, Eggman. I'm like, man, they finna fuck Sonic up, man. I'm done.
What about Pokemon? They got the Pokemon movie with the
I'm taking my nephew to see it because he's a Pokemon nut. And I kind of want to see it because the guy who played Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds, is hilarious. And
I followed him.
It's gonna be funny.
I followed him from that movie Waiting when they were all in this restaurant working. Yeah, that. And then he did that horrible Green Lantern, and he made fun of it on Deadpool. That's what really. got me.
But I feel like his personality really is Deadpool. Like he was
Deadpool before. Yeah, he was actually Deadpool before he was Deadpool the character. He is definitely him. They picked the perfect character, and that really saved his career. That right there.
Almost 30 minutes in, and we must sound like the lamest super nerds on the planet. And I guess that's what this episode was going to be.
I don't give a damn. How much did this Endgame gross?
They said worldwide the first weekend $1.2 billion. It doubled in Infinity War.
What about Black Panther?
The Black Panther was. I think fourth or fifth on the list for the opening weekend. It was a huge. Black Panther had a huge opening weekend, but it still wasn't close to Infinity War or.
They topped it Infinity Wars.
I think Star Wars was one of the Star Wars movies was before Black Panther, and it was like Endgame, Infinity War, Star Wars, and then Black Panther. Yeah, I have the list somewhere, but it was like ridiculous numbers, and all the numbers were really close except for Endgame, which doubled everything. Like, and I told it makes sense because you've been dangling this movie for over a decade since Iron Man.
Exactly.
You know, you were building up to this for a decade, and you have every fan emotionally invested in it. I've seen every Marvel movie that's in the cinematic universe, and there's only one movie that was trash that doesn't seem to fit, and that's The Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton. They say it's part of the MCU. I don't see it because you got a totally different Hulk, a totally different character playing Bruce Banner. It just, to me, that didn't fit in the MCU. It just didn't.
Well, and if you didn't see the first Avenger, which was Howard the Duck, then that was actually a Marvel movie. Yeah, he's Marvel.
Actually, what a lot of people don't know is Wesley Snipes playing Blade is what brought back Marvel's films section, because Howard the Duck didn't do that great at the box office. They had a couple other movies that didn't do great. I think some
Captain
of the Spider-Man
America.
Movies.
It was a Captain America
TV show.
Did you
something.
See it?
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't see it.
It was a Captain America. I think it was. I think it was 1980 or something. It was 82 or something like that. But it was super
Blade,
lame.
They said Blade is what saved Marvel financially, their film department. Was
right, because Blade kept going. Blade kept going to, like, what was it, Blade 3?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Blade 1 made so much money, plus overseas, they said it was huge in China and Japan and all that, because it was a you know, it was a cool movie. And
Hold on, Bruce.
This guy put me on hold on the podcast. This is why I don't always have my super producer guests. But to anybody that is listening, you know, I don't think this is what the podcast is gonna be every week.
Yeah. My bad. I had
Hey, he just clicked over on the podcast to go talk to a shorty. That's definitely what he did.
Hey, that was bae. That ain't just no shorty. That's bae. That's bae.
Bae. Is it BAE bae? Or because you know there's a difference. You got BAE.
It's BAY bae watch bae. It's BAE bae my baby. BABY. All that.
I'm single.
I had a very important question. This is my only discrepancy of Endgame.
Uh-huh.
How can they go back and get Gamora and not get Nat? They were the same sacrifice equally.
No.
One was for the evil, one was for the greater good.
I can explain it because I did my homework on this. Okay.
I kind of know, but I want somebody else to say it.
Okay, it has to do with the exchange for the Soul Stone, right? When you give up that soul, the same reason that Gamora can't come back, right? When
she did.
Was trading Gamora. No, that was a past Gamora. Remember?
Yeah, but why can't they go and get a past Nat? That's what I'm saying.
Because they didn't snap. Remember, he said, don't go to the past. He said, bring everybody to the future. Everybody that vanished, right? She traded her soul for the Soul Stone. That's the trade.
So did Gamora.
And he even said it. He said it can't be undone. He told her, this cannot
I know.
Be undone.
Bruce, you're not listening to me, though. Their sacrifice was the same. Gamora had the same sacrifice as Nat. They went back and brought back the old Gamora to the future. She was at the funeral and everything.
No, Gamora was gone because you remember when that was not Gamora. Did you see when Peter, or what's his name, Star-Lord, I forget his name, Peter Quill, was looking for in the maps when Thor walked up at the end of the movie when he's looking for Gamora, searching for her. Did you see that? That was not Gamora.
Okay, I'm at the part right now where he's looking at Gamora, Star-Lord. He's on the ship.
He's searching
for
her.
And Thor just walked on the ship. Yeah. He can't find it. What happened?
She didn't. She when he snapped his fingers. And
she went
that,
back
and
too,
he,
huh?
Everything. Yeah, she went back too. Because remember, she came with Thanos.
Yeah, she came with Thanos. That's right, through the time hole. So.
Yeah. Okay, I had some of the questions that I thought were a little more crazy. I don't know if you noticed, but when Peter Parker went back to school, it's supposed to be 5 years in the future. What the fuck is his friend Ned still doing in high school? He must be a dumbass. This is 5 years in the future.
I was thinking that was college, but I guess that was still high school, huh?
Yeah, that was high school. Like, he man, come on, man. That was definitely high school. And
no, because, wait a minute, didn't his friend disappear? His friend probably disappeared, too. So he came back as just like he never left. So he have to finish.
Right. Another thing.
High school.
That bothered me. When Captain America went back to return the stones, right? And you're supposed to put them back the way you found them, right? Not all of them were in the form of a stone, if you remember when they got them, because the Tesseract was not in the form of a stone at that time. What was the other stone? And how did he go bring back the Soul Stone? If he went back to bring back the Soul Stone, he's going to have Red Skull there waiting on him, right? What happened to Red Skull after if somebody gets the Soul Stone? Does he disappear? Does he say, okay,
remember,
my job's done?
Remember Red Skull? Remember Red Skull got banished to that island?
Because
so Captain America went there before Red Skull was there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And
Captain America had to bring all the stones back. Right? So if he went to Vormir, what do you think him and Red Skull's exchange was when he seen him? Was he like, hey, I put you here.
However he did it, and he lived his life like he like Tony told him to get a little piece of that life. That's what he did. And
were you okay with him coming back old?
Look at that. You know what I'm saying? And I like the fact that he picked up that hammer. That hammer flew to him. And Thor was like, I knew it. I knew it. Because he was worthy.
Okay. So what happened to Loki when he disappeared with the Tesseract? Because remember, that's a weird loop. When all of a sudden Loki...
That's it. Because remember, Loki takes the Tesseract anyway. Remember on Infinity Wars, Loki had the Tesseract all that the whole time. So remember what they said. No matter how you do it, the future is gonna be inevitable. It's gonna always be the same. No matter how outcome.
He got the Tesseract in Ragnarok for the Infinity War. Because you remember at the end of Ragnarok,
it don't matter. He still had it. It don't matter when or how.
Disney is when they launch their streaming service, Loki is going to have his own show.
What?
I'm here for it. Yeah, they're doing. If you look it up, they're having a Disney streaming service is coming. That's why a lot of these shows Marvel shows are getting canceled on Netflix, like The Punisher and all that. Is because Disney is going to be launching its streaming service, and I think at the beginning of next year, they have solo shows for I believe Falcon, Scarlet Witch, Vision, and Loki were some of the.
Disney World protester. Because of the low income that the employees, the low income that the employees are getting is ridiculous.
Did you know Tony Stark, when he first played Iron Man, he was only paid like $100,000? In the first Iron Man, he didn't even make that much.
Did you know Pop from Friday only got $5,000 from doing Friday?
Pop? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That who directed that? No, that was Ice Cube's project. Yeah, I talked to Ice Cube about that.
It actually was. Yeah.
But at the time, like, they didn't know what that movie was gonna do either, and like, they didn't know Friday was gonna be such a big success and such a pop culture phenomenon. And you know, I gotta admit, I was surprised when, you know, they keep delaying the new Friday movie, because you know it's gonna be big whenever they finally do release it or finish production. And you know, I guess Ice Cube just had so much going on with the little 3-on-3 league and all that. I guess he don't need that money like that. That's what it comes down
right to. Back to Endgame. When Captain America passes the shield to Falcon, I don't get that, man. He has no super strength.
That's what it was in the comics. Actually, in the comics, it was passed on to Falcon, and then from Falcon it went to Bucky. In the comics, because in the comics, Captain America dies at the end of Civil War. Because remember, everybody was talking about that during Captain America Civil War. They thought Captain America was going to die right before it came out. Everybody's like, oh, Captain going to die, because that's what happened in the Civil War series in the comics. Right?
He damn near did die, but he was, you know, Bucky pulled him out. So they changed it.
Well, no, in Civil War, he died from an assassin. Like, a sniper killed him. Like, had like a superpowered bullet, like a bullet made out of vibranium or something, and that's how.
I know, but Bucky was the one that pulled him out of the water.
No, there was no water.
He fell.
He died in front of the courthouse when he was going to sign the Sokovia Accord. In the comics, he was in front of the courthouse. And this, the comics in Civil War, the movie, was different in a lot of ways.
Different.
They
were very different.
Yeah. The Sokovia Accords was the thing where superheroes had to get permission to help out in a big fight. Right? They had to get permission from the government to help against the
threat. I'm about to watch that one now.
They couldn't, but in the comic books, but there's this website, I watch all the comics, it's I'll send you the link, but they have them all. Infinity Saga, all that. They, like, any comic book you can think of, they got it. And you can just scroll through and read it, like a website. And in the comic books, Steve Rogers is finally, he's like almost agreeing to sign the Sokovia Accords, and he's in a fight with Tony Stark, and he's thinking about signing, he's in front of the courthouse. Like, I don't know what was going on at the courthouse, but then a sniper killed him.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking about? Winter Soldier. That's when...
Winter Soldier. Yeah, you're thinking of Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier, he almost died, and Bucky saved him.
Yeah, you're thinking of that, because the whole thing with Tony... The comics play out different, same in the Infinity Saga. I'm trying to guess.
Yeah, I know the comic book too. That's why I was getting confused. Yeah.
Okay. Have you seen that they're going to have a box set available for the entire Infinity Saga, which is all 22 Marvel movies, when it goes to Blu-ray and DVD? That box set has got to be over $300-$400 when it comes out.
Yeah. It's probably definitely going to be. So it's going to be on Blu-ray.
Blu-ray,
I don't even
DVD,
know people still use. People still have Blu-ray DVDs.
Everything, I watch everything digital, because I'm in a house full of kids, and they don't respect any kind of CDs, DVDs, discs, nothing. Like, I had one remaining copy of Bootleggers Made Me Famous, which was kind of like my, you know, keepsake type deal with the cover and everything. Man, my little nephew got it, and I come in, he's waxing the floor with it. He's, like, scrubbing the floor with the disc. I was so mad.
Oh, wow.
I was like, man, I couldn't do nothing, but because, you know, it was a four-year-old. What do you expect? You know, I shouldn't have left that shit out anyway. But me and my sister, And me and my sister are talking about going half on it, on the box set when it comes out, cause just to have it, because, you know, if the apocalypse comes and we don't have no internet, how are we going to watch them? We're assuming we'll still have DVD players in the apocalypse, but, you know how it goes. But me and my sister have been following every one of these movies. It's been like tradition where we go see the movie. Now that we both have kids, it's different. Like, I watched the kids so she could go see it, and then she watched them so I could go see it. So it was like kind of the trade-off. We went by ourselves and just kind of traded watching the kids to go see Endgame. So that was how we did it.
Did you ever follow Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I just started watching that. I'm on episode 2. So I'm just doing. Everybody's been telling me it's okay for a long time. I ran out of shit to watch. I was like real close to starting Game of Thrones over. I don't watch Breaking Bad over. Like when I in my because
he was there. They brought him back in Endgame. He was there at the funeral. I seen him standing there.
Oh, yeah, well, I know what happened with Agent Coulson. They faked his death in the first Avengers. Yeah,
right, and that's what they say on the S.H.I.E.L.D., on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, that it was the alien blood. Like, it's him, it's not him, but it's him or something like that.
And he went to, what did he say, Tahiti? His magical
place. Yeah, they installed that memory or whatever, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know what I'm not here for, and this is like another small critique. I don't like Michonne. I forget her name in Black Panther, but the lady plays Michonne on Walking Dead. I don't like her bald headed. I don't. It's not Zuri, but the other one plays. She's on The Walking Dead with the dreads. Man, I forget her name, but she's
from Black Panther.
I think. Yeah, she's the one that was bald-headed looking at the Hulk when he fell down in the Iron Man suit. I don't like her bald-headed. I have a crush on her in The Walking Dead, but in Black Panther and in Endgame, I'm like, man, she's bald-headed. And, like, she got a funny head.
But she, like, the main, she's the bitch. She's that bitch. Like, she's the one you don't fuck with.
No, I think she's the head of the Kingsguard for King T'Challa, she's like his security or the King's Guard or something they called it.
Yeah, she walked through with him through the porthole with his sister.
Yeah, and I think if a woman rocks a bald head, she got to have a certain shaped head, and her head just ain't.
She looked like head. I mean, her. You might like her image the other way, but I think her image that the African bald head. Shit is just gangster as fuck. She just like, and then when she took, she had the in Black Panther when she was in the casino fighting. She took that wig off and swung that spear. That shit was awesome. I love that shit. That's some shit a black girl would do for real.
I've seen it.
Hey.
I've seen it firsthand.
I've seen it.
Well, I'm really hoping audio on this podcast is going to be decent. But at least decent enough to leave up because I was having trouble with the mic where I went and got me one of them little blue snowballs, the USB mic, and it was supposed to work. But the way, I can record a solo podcast quite easily, right? On audio.
Right.
What's that app? Audacity with no problems. Audio is clear, but when I tried to do the podcast on Blog Talk Radio, it's basically you record a live podcast, and it was forcing me to call in. It would just not let me direct connect to the microphone. So this basically just sounds like a recorded phone call, which would be great for interviews because I can keep this audio. What I'm probably going to use this for is basically to record interviews or guest hosts and people I have on the podcast to talk about different subjects. I can download it and then I'll just try to edit it and make it sound a little better in Audacity or something like that. And you know, see how that works. But, you know, it's, I'm actually recording this from my iPhone right now, just
okay,
talking shit. So we will. I have yet to know how this audio is going to sound. Hoping it works out, because this is might be a solution for I have for, you know, sometimes I don't have a method to easily record people, like, remotely, who are in a different location, because I would love to have you come in the studio and do a podcast, but I'm in Texas, you're in Florida, and, you know, who knows, one day my podcast might end up bringing me back down there, or what, or might bring you out here to visit, but,
yep, we can do that, because I definitely want to go out there and chill for a little bit, so.
Yeah, it's crazy how the world has brought me full circle, and like with everything I've been through, a lot of the people that have always followed what I do, they know what I've been through. When I went to prison and came out and found out I had to start from scratch, plus my wife didn't really want me in the industry anymore anyway. It was just not in the cards for me. It was like, I get down this path where I'm starting to live my life for others, trying to make other people happy instead of me doing what I wanted to do and chasing my dream, my path. I'm chasing somebody else's dream for me. Like, this is what they wanted me to do, so I'm chasing that. And that ended miserably. So here I am saying, okay, I've been out of the game for 7-8 years. Since 2010 is when I think I launched my last episode that was significant. We're here at First Radio, and I found out those podcasts are still on Apple Podcasts, and they were actually making revenue for years. So I kind of told my ex-wife, hey, that shit was making money, dummy. I could have been still doing this. So this is basically me relaunching, rebranding. I don't. It's not going to be the same, but, you know, I'm hoping you can definitely be a friend of the show and you can be on, you know, more often, because you're always fun to talk to, and I think a lot of ways you got a lot of good insight on so many different topics, like from the conversations we had. Even though you're a great music producer, your scope on life experience is definitely not limited to that, because you've seen a lot. In the world. And I've also joined Team Baldhead, and like, I noticed my hairline was struggling, and all you folks out
there.
Did
you go full on bald?
I'm full bald with the razor and everything. Hey, listen, the girl, like, all of a sudden,
you can't be Mr. Clean with hair.
No, I don't. No, but one day I was in a rush and I missed the spot, and people were letting me know when you missed the spot.
Let me tell you something. I travel with a razor now. I don't get caught slipping.
Yeah, I'm at work, and all of a sudden this girl, she's like, "Hey, you missed. You got a spot on the back of your head." And I felt it. You know how you automatically put your hand back there and you feel it right away. You like, damn. But Team Baldhead is where it's at. Like, all these people out here, they can struggle with that perfect hairline. But like I said before, the best fighters in the world are Goku, Captain America, Magic Johnson's white blood cell count, and LeBron's hairline.
Amazing. Amazing.
Hey, I've seen one week, and this is fine. I know he ain't using that. What's that shit called for your hairline? That spray paint
that
where you spray paint it in? Yeah. I've seen LeBron one week he will have a hairline, the next week he won't. And I'm like, what is
why
he doing?
Why doesn't he get it permanently fixed? Because I know he got the money to do the implant.
Well, why don't he just shave his head? Like, I don't think his market value will go down if if he shaved his head. He probably look no, better.
He's afraid. He's afraid of building the Michael Jordan image. He's running from it also. You know what I'm saying? And with the number 23, and then if he cuts his hair bald, oh, he's going to get so much, you know. He already get backlash and stuff. So, you know, just from the jersey and people comparing him.
I think LeBron should be allowed to be great on his own without the comparison to Michael and Kobe. I say that this is what I hate about basketball fans, and you know, since we're talking super fans, basketball and football fans are retarded. Like,
yeah, they are.
I was a Dolphin fan for years. I was a super fan. I don't know why.
One thing about it, these guys are human. They're not going to always be perfect in their game. They're good, but they're not going to be perfect. They're not fucking computers. And people, it's, you know, when they see somebody having a, you know, everybody have a bad day or a bad game. You can't run from it. You're human. You know, you're going to have some kind of imbalance. You're going to wake up, something ain't, one thing going to be off, whether it be an equilibrium or whatever the fuck. And you're not going to be able to perform at that percentage you just performed last time. Like, Jordan didn't win every freaking game. And, it was possible for him to win because of the people he had around him. And Jordan ain't really play against no, you know, these super teams that LeBron playing against now. Are you crazy? If Jordan would have played against these guys, he wouldn't have been doing all that. Man, we got monsters now.
Let me ask you a question, and this goes with the super fandom, right? What's one of your favorite restaurants off the top of your head? What's one of your favorite places to eat? It don't matter. I'm not talking fancy. I'm just talking about your go-to spot for good food.
Me? I like to cook.
Yeah.
I don't really go out.
No, like if you were to pick a place you like to eat, and you're saying, I want to go, whether it's Pollo Tropical or something like that, or a go-to place. If you go to a restaurant and they got good food, and you go there, food's not great, but it's consistently good. Now, if you go there and all of a sudden the food and the customer service starts to suck, you're going to quit going, right?
Yeah, that's a given.
You see where I'm going with this? Like,
mm-hmm.
I loved Pollo Tropical. I used to love going to the one in Wellington. I would go out to that one before I moved out to Texas. I'd always go there. And then it started, like, the customer service started sucking. The food was kind of nasty. The chicken was always dry. The rice was always dry. Like, I couldn't get enough sauce to put on it. So I quit going.
Yep.
Why the fuck am I still a Dolphin fan after watching my team be mediocre for 40 years?
Because there's a difference between...
Like this...
is a big difference. Dolphins, we have changed, and we constantly change employees, we constantly change players, and we just don't make good choices. The thing is that there's
since
not a lot
left,
of
since Dan Marino left
not,
the league.
Yeah.
Since Dan Marino left the league, there's been nothing to get excited about for the Dolphins. Except maybe that one.
And Dan Marino, to me, was a hype.
The Wildcat for me.
Dan Marino wasn't the best. He, you know, the 72 Dolphins was the ones that went undefeated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to sit there and say Dan Marino wasn't a great quarterback. I've met him once, seen him at a restaurant. He was an asshole. Like, that's all I remember.
Oh, he's an asshole to everybody. Yeah, he's an asshole. Everybody that say they meet him is an asshole.
I went to eat. I don't know if they. I don't even know if this restaurant is still there, but they had a restaurant called Shula's in Fort Lauderdale off Los Olas, and I went there to eat once with some girl, and we were literally at a table two tables down from Dan Marino and some old wrinkly white guy, right? And they were eating. Hey, the girl I was with said, "Oh shit, it's Dan Marino." Right? Dan Marino tried to get the girl I was with tried to get us moved to another table. Because the girl said, "Oh shit, it's Dan Marino."
Wow.
We're in a sports-themed restaurant. You're Dan Marino. And somebody recognized you, and you're mad. Like, fuck out of here. That's what I love about. Fuck that guy. I was all about, fuck him. And, you know, so but back where I was going with the superfan, like where I was going with the restaurant comparison, is after being disappointed, how many times do you go to a restaurant and it sucks and you quit going? Like, that's where I'm at with the Dolphins. Like, I've been watching them suck for so long, and it looks like they're not trying to win. So I'm like, man, I'm done. I'm not going to jump teams. Well, I'm not going to go be a Cowboy fan or anything like that.
Let me tell you why I will forever be a Dolphin and not change up. First of all, I live in Florida. I'm not going to be rooting for Buffalo living in Florida. I can't go to Buffalo. I can, but I won't. And I don't like Buffalo. I like Miami. I like the sound of it. I like the name. I like the way. I just like Miami. And the colors. So there's no reason for me to switch. You know why? Because that would be following that super fan trend, what thing you was talking about. Guess what? The Miami Dolphins don't pay me. Whether they win or lose, I don't get paid. If I switch to another team, I still don't get paid. So there's no reason for me to switch to another team. That's my team. I'm going to rep my team. And if they lose, they lose. If somebody else wins the Super Bowl, hey, good for them. But if the Miami Dolphins win, that's good for us. But guess what? I still don't get paid. It still don't affect me in any type of way. So there's no reason for me to get all this energy built up into another team and then, you know, they lose or whatever. And, you know, just stay home. I'm staying home. I'm here in Florida. I love the Dolphins. I ain't going nowhere. And I'm going to just rep them until the day I pass. You know what I'm saying? That's it.
I just quit watching the NFL. I got tired of politics with it.
I enjoy other teams. Don't get me wrong. I even have a second team. I love the Saints. The Saints is my second team.
I think now if you watch where fandom is going, especially in the NBA, you can see this. It's no longer team fandom, like you're a Heat fan till you die, or a Laker fan till you die, or a Boston fan till you die. It's player.
Basketball is different.
If you're a fan of LeBron James, you go where LeBron James goes. You're all done a Celtics fan. It's different in the NFL, but for some reason I connect better with the NBA because, like, I've been watching my whole life.
Basketball is different because there are actual faces and you can actually follow these people. And, you know, football, to me, back in the day was more exciting because we had real superheroes. We had Bo Jackson. We had Barry Sanders. We had Emmitt Smith. Those were like real superheroes. We could really, you know, follow these guys because they really were athletic and they really were good. And you followed them. You didn't follow the team. You followed them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. In basketball
Deion
is like
Sanders.
Deion Sanders back then, he was the LeBron of football. You know what I'm saying? He had the videos. He was the gold chain, you know, stylish dude that everybody wanted to be like. You know what I'm saying? So,
definitely.
Not to switch the topic, but what the hell went on with Hellboy? I ain't hear no feedback from that.
From Hellboy?
New Hellboy.
I heard it came out.
I know. I mean, unless it didn't come out yet, because I'm looking on Fire Stick and it still has the old Hellboy, but the new Hellboy poster in front.
I don't think it's out yet. I don't think if any kind of movie in that genre is dropping right now around any of the Marvel's run right now, they're stupid. Because nobody is fucking with Marvel. You notice DC ain't putting out shit. They're waiting on all this to put out the Joker. Now, that Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix, I'm actually intrigued.
They said Hellboy was released the 12th of April.
I didn't hear shit about it.
And I don't even...
Bad marketing. Bad marketing.
I've seen, like, the trailers and stuff, but I'm like, I keep Googling it, and it says the 12th of April, and I don't even see it on Firestick. I see the old Hellboy, but I'm like, that's so weird. And I actually like, you know, Hellboy 1 and 2, you know what I'm saying? So I wanted to see this one.
Now, I think this is like a rebrand, like they're redoing the new actor, and I can't really see anybody but Ron Perlman and that glorious chin playing Hellboy. He's got he's got that Thanos chin going.
Right, and Thanos was in the he was actually in Deadpool. The guy that played Thanos, what's his name?
Josh Brolin. Yeah, I played Cable, and he's a good actor. He was.
He is.
I seen him. He was in No Country for Old Men. That's when he first popped up on my radar. And and what's that movie about the cartel? He was in I can't remember the name of that, but he's good. But to anybody listening, this is the first episode, so bear with me. And it's not. I promise you, we're not going to be super nerds all the time. I'm not going to be giving you all that, but we're an hour and some change into this show, and we haven't really talked about shit, but who cares? It's fun. I am excited about the new Spider-Man movie coming. I've seen the trailers for that.
Far
From Home. Yeah, have you looked for the trailer for the new Spider-Man Far From Home?
So this is going to be after Endgame. This
yes.
Spider-Man. Oh, okay.
Yes. And Mysterio, not Rey Mysterio the wrestler, but Mysterio is supposed to be one of the villains in it. And it looked good. And it looked like it was after the events of Endgame. I wish I had the kind of money Marvel got, because if they're making $1 billion a movie, their bank account must look pretty right now.
Man, let me tell you something. I don't know if Buddy was getting all that money that just died. What's his name?
John Singleton?
No, the Marvel guy. I can't call his name off top.
Robert Downey Jr.?
No, the guy that just died. Marvel.
Oh, Stanley.
His great-great-great-great-great-grandkids are straight.
They were straight before the movies, because, man, who was not reading Marvel comics when they came out? Like, when the comic books were coming out? When I was a kid, I wasn't the collector. I was the one that read the comics and fucked them up. Like, I'd buy a comic, I'd read it, the pages look all fucked up because I was reading them.
He didn't blow up right away. He was around 40 something when Marvel really started taking off, like his comic books and movies and stuff.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Yeah. And I think the little cameos are still great to watch, because we're always now my nephew. Who's 11 years old, he's starting to follow. He's always looking for the Stan Lee cameos in the movie now. He knows who Stan Lee is. And it's different because they don't have the same connection as we do, because we grew up reading the comics. These kids ain't reading no comics today.
Yeah.
When's the last time you seen a kid reading a comic book? They might collect them, but they don't read them. Like, I would read them.
But my thing is, who's going to read a fucking comic book?
It's fucking boring. You don't get to sit and you know, actually watch, you know, shit, action and shit happen. You got to flip the page. It's boring now because there's movies. Would you rather read a fucking boring comic book or would you rather go to the movies and see the actual movie? You're going to go to the movies and see the movie.
Yeah. Definitely. Well,
and he got YouTube. They got YouTube too. Man, my son falls asleep with his phone in his hand when the earphones or earbuds or whatever, and that YouTube, they have access to anything they want. They can watch it.
Man, I'm torn on YouTube. Like, one thing, YouTube taught my daughter how to count, do her letters, do her words. Like, there's a lot of kids. YouTube channels that are really good at teaching you stuff. But every once in a while, you got to look at what your kids are watching because all of a sudden she's watching a My Little Pony video where Pinkie Pie got her head cut off. And I'm like, oh, shit. They'll sneak one of those on you. And she's on the kids' YouTube, and you got to watch what your kids are doing, but... Kids don't know what they're missing when, you know, I hate to sound like that old guy that says back in my day, but life was a lot more simpler back then. And, you know, sometimes I do miss the good old days when you can enjoy a good comic book. But you know,
right,
nothing now going to, we used to go steal the comic books out of Eckerd's when I was a kid. See, that's when you're going back, when you start talking about Eckerd's.
Yeah. When you start talking about Eckerd's, the kids nowadays be like, Eckerd, what?
Yeah,
that was
CBS.
Before CBS, kids. That was before CBS.
I wonder if people remember Zayers.
Oh. Zayers, oh my God. That's like...
ancient. That was TJ Maxx before TJ Maxx. Man, quick story. I was like 12 years old. My parents used to give me the shittiest clothes. They used to get me used clothes. I don't know where they got them. But I get clothes, I get pants. They give me pants. We were going to a private school then. We were the poor family going to private school because they would somehow make a way because they thought going to private school was better, right? We were the poor people going to a private school. We didn't belong, according to everybody in the school, right? Everybody's pulling up in BMWs and Porsches, and these 16-year-old kids were driving Ferraris, right? And here we had that Toyota van that looked like a toaster oven.
Oh,
and it had a hole in the floorboard. Yeah, you remember those? Those old Toyota box vans? We'd pull up in one of those. It's falling apart. It was nasty. So we get there, and, like, we get made fun of it because my pants were always too short or had patches. Like, they had a patch kit. Like, back then, if you got a hole in your jeans, your mom would patch it up. She would get, like, I don't know how she patched it up. She'd get, like, a little... patch and patch it up, and I always had the pants with the patches on it, and the you know, it was too short. We're in high water, so I learned how to fight early because somebody tried to make fun of my pants, I'm fighting. But with that being said, J-Rock, it's been a pleasure going down memory lane with you. Hopefully we'll have you on in the future. I'm going to go ahead and close this podcast out because we've been on for a good hour and some change. And this I was planning on being on for like 30 minutes as a test run, but here we went, an hour and some change. But, you know, to anybody that's listening, it'll get better. I promise you. And
yep.
Hopefully this audio sounds good. I will make it work somehow. All right?
All right, bro. Well, hit me up later.
J-Rock. Yeah, I'm going to call
for
you.
For sure, bro.
All right, no doubt.
All right.
All right, everybody. that was your first radio podcast. I don't know how it's going to sound, to be honest. This episode might be shitty because it's from a phone, so we'll see.